the Holy Spirit has always been working. The Holy Spirit's working today. The Holy Spirit worked in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit will still be working when the rapture of the church takes place. Holy Spirit is always working. You find in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. And then creation took place, so the Spirit of God was moving. You find all throughout the Old Testament where the Holy Spirit would come upon a person or do a certain work, a miraculous work.
As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kako e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in Acts chapter 19 with a message titled, Evidence of the Holy Spirit.
We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because
what we've been looking at, if you were here last time in chapter 18, we found that we left a very impressive man who was ministering there in Ephesus. And his name is Apollos. And the Bible calls him an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures. He's fervent in spirit, and he's accurately teaching the things concerning Jesus. And he's got a bold delivery. So he's really quite an individual, quite an evangelist for the Lord, except he's limited in the full revelation of the work of the Holy Spirit. He's only equated with the baptism of John for repentance. And what we find is we'll deal with some of the issues that he was lacking, and then we'll come up to speed in what those that he taught receive when Paul the Apostle came. I think one of the most impressive things about Apollos, when you were a man that is eloquent and you're mighty and you're fervent and you're accurate and you've got a bold delivery, the thing that impresses me, and I think is to his credit, is he's teachable. Sometimes when a person gets those kind of qualities and those kind of advantages, sometimes they get to a place where nobody can tell them anything. They get to be a know-it-all. Well, that's not Apollos. And so you find that Priscilla and Aquila, they take him aside and explain more accurately the way of God. And so he's taught in a deeper way about the things of the Lord that he hadn't learned. Now, one of the things that you find with Priscilla and Aquila, what they're teaching Apollos is the very thing that they've got from the Apostle Paul. And when they were taught by the Apostle Paul about Jesus and his resurrection and the Holy Spirit and all that comes with what the Lord had taught and what Paul had received. And so what we find when Apollos leaves Ephesus, he goes down to Corinth, and Paul is now on his third missionary journey, and he's going to go to Ephesus, and he's going to encounter the disciples that Apollos had been speaking to. Now, one of the things about Ephesus, very, very important city, and what an incredible city to be the staging area to reach there in Asia Minor as Paul reaches out. A famous seaport city. It was a leading commercial Roman city. It was located on the main highway connecting the Aegean Sea with the rich trade route into the east. So you know a lot of commercial endeavors went through there, a lot of business people, a lot of travelers right through Ephesus. Also, it was famous for the Temple Diana. Your Bible might have the temple or the goddess Artemis. Artemis is the Greek term and Diana is the Roman term. So basically speaking about the same goddess there. And that temple, it was one of the seven wonders of the world. It took 220 years to finish building that. And it was really just an incredible building, one of the seventh wonders of the world. But we're going to find that it became very controversial when Paul came and preached the gospel and people started getting saved and leaving that idolatry from the temple Diana. And you find that a riot broke out after that. Because a superstition had gone into that city of Ephesus that actually this goddess, this image fell from heaven. You see it in verse 35. We'll get there eventually, but that's kind of the background there on Ephesus, that city of Ephesus. So we mentioned that Apollos, he left Ephesus and the disciples there that he had evangelized, and he traveled to Corinth. Now, we're going to later find that Paul goes down to Corinth. But Aquila and Priscilla, they commend him to that church in Corinth because they had been there in Corinth along with Paul. And so they knew the church. They knew some of the people there. So Apollos, when he's in Corinth with this new revelation, this new information about Jesus and the fuller revelation of Jesus Christ, he powerfully preaches Jesus, demonstrating in the scriptures that Jesus is the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah, and he's the Savior of the world. But let's come back now to Paul and his third missionary journey. And let's look at the first two verses as we go up to the first seven verses of Acts 19. And then let's look at and talk about these. It says, "And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus and found some disciples. He said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when or since you believed?' And they said to him, 'No, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit.'" So Paul is not questioning whether they are Christians or not, but he's questioning their relationship to the Holy Spirit. And we find that they confess that they're ignorant of the Holy Spirit. They haven't gotten that revelation. They didn't get that from Apollos. They hadn't heard about that. And yet he calls them disciples. Now, some challenge the fact that these are Christians. They say, "Well, no, I don't, these aren't Christians." And then when Paul finally goes there and encounters them and speaks to them, that's when they become Christians. But actually, true to the scriptures, the scripture here, and also what we'll be looking at this morning, in context, they are disciples. They're called disciples. Yet they didn't have a full knowledge of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I think many in the church today, we're 2,000 years into the church, many are believers. They love Jesus. They're going to heaven, but they don't have the fuller knowledge of the Holy Spirit. And so the Bible indicates there is a work of the Holy Spirit that's coupled with or subsequent to salvation. It's called baptism of the Holy Spirit. In fact, the scripture speaks of this in the Old Testament. It also speaks of this in the book of Luke. If you'd turn to Luke chapter 24, in verse 49, Jesus speaks of this before he ascends to heaven. He tells his disciples, "Behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." So he indicates that to them. And then he appears many times over 40 days there after he's resurrected. But then finally, when he was ready to ascend to heaven, he tells the disciples, remember in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, he tells the disciples pretty much the same thing, but he tells them to wait in Jerusalem. He says in Acts chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "For he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, 'You heard of from me.' John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So he ascended to heaven, and then within that week, the Holy Spirit was poured out. So pretty amazing, pretty powerful when you think about this whole idea of the promise of the Father, this baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit, the Greek preposition is a P, the Holy Spirit coming upon them in power. He says that you might be that you might have power and be my witnesses. And as we go on, we see that. Well, you say, well, wait a minute. Didn't the Holy Spirit, when they're saved, is the Holy Spirit, they have to have the Holy Spirit in them? Yes, that's true. You do. But they already did. When Jesus spoke to them in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, before he ascended to heaven, they already had the Holy Spirit in them. In fact, when you look in John chapter 20, and when Jesus does resurrect and immediately he's with them, he shows them right after he is resurrected, and then the next 40 days he spends showing himself to others. Right then and there in the upper room in John chapter 20, verse 19, it says, "And when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side, and the disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I also send you.' And when he said this, he breathed," your Bible might have "on," my Bible has "on," but in the Greek it's "en" or "in." "He breathed in them and said, 'Receive ye the Holy Spirit.'" At that point, if Jesus said he breathed in them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," they did at that point. Interesting how that so true. This special work of the Holy Spirit, or baptism of the Holy Spirit, was given when Jesus ascended. He had to ascend first for the Holy Spirit to come upon in power. He said in John chapter 16, verse 7, "The Holy Spirit cannot come to help you until I leave, but after I am gone, I will send the Spirit to you." So notice the Holy Spirit's in the disciples because he breathed in them. And then he said, "When I ascend to heaven, then the Holy Spirit will come upon you," or that promise of the Father, or that baptism of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. One God in three persons. Now, the Holy Spirit has always been working. The Holy Spirit's working today. The Holy Spirit worked in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit will still be working when the rapture of the church takes place. Holy Spirit is always working. You find in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, "And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters." And then creation took place. So the Spirit of God there was moving. You find all throughout the Old Testament where the Holy Spirit would come upon a person or do a certain work, a miraculous work. I think of Samson. Judges 14:6, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, because a lion came at him and he tore the lion." You also find where people are filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesy. Look at the prophets. Look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah had no fruit in his ministry. He was persecuted. He said, "Lord, I'm not going to speak anymore on your behalf. It just brings hassle into my life." And then finally he said, I couldn't hold it in. I just had to, you know, speak out the word of God because the Spirit was upon him. And then healing, remember Nahum of the Syrian commander there who was healed as he dipped himself in the Jordan River because the prophet, Spirit was upon the prophet. Dead were raised. Remember the Shunammite's son was raised from the dead because the Holy Spirit was working through the prophet. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, you know, they wouldn't burn up because it said another one like the Son of God, the Spirit moving there. And then fasting. Can you imagine? We always think Moses fasted 40 days and 40 nights, but it was in actuality 80 days and 80 nights. Because the first 40 days and 40 nights, he came down with the tablets, and the people were partying and doing all sorts of crazy things, and he broke the tablets. He went back up to the mountain another 40 days and 40 nights, and God this time, wrote them out again and brought them down. So again, just a miraculous work of the Spirit through his people. Now, when he talks about the promise of the Holy Spirit being poured out on all flesh, not just, God's certain people back in the Old Testament, or not just at God's creation there in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, but upon all flesh. You see that in the prophet Joel, when he speaks, and he spoke about 850 years actually before the Holy Spirit was poured out there at the day of Pentecost. When Joel says, "And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." And so hear that promise. And remember, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, Peter referred back to Joel's prophecy. But it wasn't only Joel. There were other Old Testament prophets that were indicating the fact that the Holy Spirit would be poured out. You can look to Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3. It says, "I will pour out water on a thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my Spirit on all your offspring and my blessings on your descendants." So here, and others, other prophecies as well in the Old Testament. But I love it, even when Jesus was ministering at the Feast of Tabernacles, when they were coming and celebrating that, and Jesus was there in the midst of his ministry, he even indicated the fact that the Holy Spirit would not just be in a person, would just gush and overflow them. That's the idea of filling of the Holy Spirit, or baptism of the Holy Spirit, not just in us, but overflowing us. When Jesus, at the last day of the feast, where he says in John chapter 7, verse 37, "If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow or gush forth rivers of living water." And then the little addendum there is he spoke of the Spirit that had not yet been given because he had not yet been resurrected. He had not yet ascended into heaven. So here you find all the indicators. When would this be? When is the Spirit going to be poured out? Well, Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem, and all this fulfillment from the Old Testament, from Joel, from Isaiah, from my words before I was resurrected is going to come to pass. So when Jesus ascended, what happened? They already had the Holy Spirit in them. Well, the Holy Spirit was poured out. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, the day of Pentecost had come, it says, "And they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were seated. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and there rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance." So here, the initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the very thing that was promised in the Old Testament, very thing that Jesus had promised, not just being saved and going to heaven, the Holy Spirit in us, but now the Holy Spirit being upon us in power and to be a witness for Christ. Remember when we were back in Acts chapter 8? Remember when Philip, that deacon who was serving tables, and he went out and his ministry expanded and he became an evangelist, and he was there in Samaria doing miracles, God doing miracles through him. And that was quite a corrupt city and a lot of, magical, different satanic kind of arts were taking place. And you have that man, Simon, who was doing all these so-called miraculous things, and people were drawn to him. But as Philip came and preached, it says in verse 8, chapter 8 in Acts, verse 12, but when they believed, now these are the people, believe Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike, and even Simon himself believed. And after being baptized, he continued with them, with Philip, and as he observed signs and great miracles taking place, he was constantly amazed. So here, salvation took place. They believed Jesus Christ. They were baptized in water. Even Simon believed and was baptized. And then the apostles in Jerusalem, they heard this great work that was taking place in Samaria, the salvation that was taking place to the men and the women. Maybe they even heard about Simon. And what did they do? They sent Peter and John down there. Peter and John, the people were saved in Samaria, but the Holy Spirit had not yet fallen upon them. They weren't yet baptized in the Holy Spirit. Saved, but they didn't have that power of the Holy Spirit. So in Acts chapter 8, again chapter 8, we go a little farther, verse 14, it says, now when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for he had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, when you find that the name of the Lord Jesus, that's the formula for how Jesus told us to baptize. Baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'll see that in just a moment. So baptize in the name of Jesus, then they began laying their hands on them, verse 17, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. Now, when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money. So here, this guy, now some will, it's controversial. Was he saved or not? Well, I don't know. I'll leave that to the theologians. But the point is, he believed in the Lord. He was baptized, but I think it was really carnal. Just super carnal guy, because he saw, but he didn't partake. And when he saw, he thought, wow, this would be a great advantage for me. What do I have to do the same thing as you apostles are doing? And then they rebuked him. And notice what we're seeing here. When a person believes and a person is baptized, the Holy Spirit comes into them. The Holy Spirit is in them.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of Acts, chapter 19, titled Evidence of the Holy Spirit. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our vast media archive. We really appreciate any support or feedback that we receive from our listeners. If you'd like to financially support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online through our website, CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in Acts chapter 19. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.